This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. It's Monday, November 25th. As usual, the impeachment news did not take the weekend off. After the 5 days of public hearings, there are still new facts coming out and one big new conundrum for the Democrats. We'll get to the new facts. Here is the conundrum. Should the Democrats end the House hearings because they have enough evidence, proceed to an impeachment vote, which will succeed on the House floor, but then watch it die with a roar from Lindsey Graham and a whimper from Susan Collins in the Senate? Or keep holding hearings in the House to just get all the evidence of wrongdoing they can out to the public for the election year and for the sake of history? Let those court cases play out, maybe, to see if they force John Bolton and Mick Mulvaney and Mike Pompeo to testify and show the American people just how high up this alleged conspiracy was to turn national security policy, the Energy Department, the Office of Management and Budget, and yes, the Secretary of State's office into one giant arm of the Trump reelection campaign. Even if it goes to the Senate to die anyway, at least they'll have a fuller indictment if the evidence proves what I was just laying out, what it looks like so far. House Intel Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, who of course led the hearings, kind of leaned both ways in a CNN interview yesterday, saying their investigation continues, but...
Yes, we'd love to have these witnesses come in, but we're not willing to simply allow them to wait us out, to stall this proceeding, when the facts are already overwhelming.
Adam Schiff on CNN State of the Union. My impeachment guest for today is Michael Isikoff, chief investigative correspondent for Yahoo News and co-author of the book Russian Roulette, the Inside Story of Putin's War on America and the Election of Donald Trump. Michael also hosts the podcast Skullduggery. Hi, Michael. Always good to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Good to be with you, Brian.
So Schiff says he won't wait for months to fight Bolton and the others in court for testimony. But do you think the Democratic leadership in the House is seriously torn on how to proceed?
Well, you know, this is a good day to be asking that question because we've got a big ruling that's supposed to come from a federal judge here in Washington, Judge Ketanji Jackson, about whether Don McGahn, you remember him, the former White House counsel who had given key evidence about President Trump's efforts to obstruct the Mueller inquiry, whether he has to testify before House Judiciary. And this is the first judicial ruling we're going to get on whether top White House officials who had direct knowledge of conversations with the president has to testify in an impeachment inquiry before the House. If Judge Jackson rules, as I think many expect her to do, that McGahn does have to testify, that's going to make the issues that you were laying out there a lot more complicated because the Democrats will have a clear judicial ruling in their favor. Now, it's going to get appealed, but they will have an upper hand to try to make the argument that these other witnesses, Mulvaney, Pompeo, across the board, should testify. And this is
yeah,
something that's going to be playing out this week.
Right, but you would agree, wouldn't you, that even if the ruling goes judiciary's way and they say Don McGahn has to testify, that it would still take months before Bolton and Mulvaney and Pompeo and anyone else related to Trump-Ukraine would be forced to testify, A, because they will appeal, like you say, and B, because I'm sure these folks will say, well, no, my case isn't the same as Don McGahn's, and then they'll have to have their own hearing.
Right. And that's why I think at the end of the day, they won't want to delay this too much further. I mean, look, here's the conundrum the Democrats have right now, which is they've laid out this incredibly damning case against the president with lots of evidence that sort of adds up to what everybody suspected from the beginning. But we had a poll, Yahoo News, which came out late Friday, which was in the field up and through Thursday with the last set of witnesses there, and it doesn't show the needle has moved. You've got, I think it was like 48-49% supporting impeachment, 45% opposed. That's roughly where it is before the hearings began.
Right, and I think
we've
your numbers...
We've got no Republicans on board.
Right.
Right. So, you know, you're left with what Speaker Pelosi and Chairman Schiff were warning about for months during the Mueller inquiry about the dangers of trying to pursue a partisan impeachment in which there's not overwhelming public support. Now, there's a lot of reasons why there isn't overwhelming public support, including the fractured media we have today, but that's what the situation is. So I think that Democrats are wrestling with that, and whether there might be a case for prolonging this some more, if not to achieve conviction in the Senate, because that still looks a long way away, but as you pointed out, to lay out the case for the American public.
Yeah. Two of the reasons they might want to continue investigating are two of the new stories from over the weekend. Documents were released late on Friday from a Freedom of Information request that show Secretary of State Pompeo knew what was going on with Rudy and the shadow foreign policy and the pressure campaign as early as March. So how much did Pompeo collude in the politicization of foreign policy at the expense of U.S. interests, not to mention letting them get Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch recalled without him having any problems with her work? And the Washington Post has a story about the Office of Management and Budget, run by Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, scrambling in early August to legally justify the hold on military aid, which by law they had to release without too much delay because it passed both houses of Congress. So, Michael, if Pompeo could be implicated and Mulvaney could be implicated, and they have evidence further showing the reason the aid was withheld, how big a deal could that be for the president and our understanding of how much the government was hijacked?
You'd want to see what these emails show. It sounds to me like they were mostly focused on a very narrow issue about whether OMB had the authority to suspend congressionally appropriated funds at that point. And look, that's not what impeachment is going to be about. It's not going to be about the narrow, you know, question of whether there was a violation of the Congressional Sufficiency Act or impoundment by a president. So I'm not sure how much those emails would add to it. Certainly.
Well, let me just jump in on that, because it's not going to be narrowly on the Impoundment Sufficiency Act, meaning how quickly money has to be released after it's passed by Congress. But if it contributes to the larger narrative of the president and the chief of staff and the secretary of state and the energy secretary, we're all subverting U.S. foreign policy, potentially national security, as all these witnesses testified, for the sake of doing a campaign favor, though, for President Trump, that's a big story. It expands the story.
I would say, look, and I think I've made this point a couple times now, that this is sort of Watergate in reverse. You had a year and a half during Watergate of congressional FBI investigations that culminated with the smoking gun tape, Nixon ordering that the CIA block the FBI from investigating the Watergate burglary. In this case, we started with the smoking gun. We started with the transcript 2 months ago that clearly shows the president asking Zelensky to launch these investigations of the Bidens in 2016 election interference. We have the president's words. The role of Pompeo and Bolton and others and Mulvaney is all interesting and part of the narrative, but I would argue that the most damning evidence has been on the table from the beginning. The question is, you know, what is the appropriate response to that?
Yeah. The other way to look at it, though, is what we learned in the hearings was the answer to the question, was this just an offhand remark that seemed inappropriate by the president to the president of Ukraine, Zelensky? Do me a favor, though. Or, as we learned from the hearings, was it embedded into a months-long and massive campaign that involved multiple departments, all kinds of officials to, as we said before, subvert U.S. foreign policy in the interest of the campaign. And I think the biggest thing we learned from the hearings was that this involved all these different players who testified feeling the pressure in all these departments of government. Does this ultimately make it more serious in the minds of the American people, even though Yahoo News poll didn't find it moved the needle right away? I guess that remains to be seen. If and when they do push it to the Senate, the script will flip from one in which Adam Schiff made the rules to one in which Mitch McConnell makes the rules. What would you expect to go on there if it were to go over there as is?
I think the Republican senators are just watching the polls. I think it's where is public sentiment here? Are there political risks for them that are too great to defend the president? And I think, you know, the question is up in the air at this point. I can tell you that a few weeks ago, when I spoke to House Democrats, they were hoping that by the end of the public hearings, the poll numbers supporting impeachment would get up to 55-56%. They thought if it got to that point, then you'd have a chance of getting a reasonable number of Senate Republicans to go along. Like I say, right now that hasn't happened. We'll have to see what the numbers look like over the next week or two. But I think all is going to depend on what those poll numbers look like.
Let's take a phone call. Peter, you're on the air. Peter, thank you for calling in.
Thanks. Hey, Brian. So I've kind of witnessed the Biden situation is a little bit rotten. And despite really wanting Trump to be out of office, I just don't think the American people are backing the impeachment because the Biden situation in the Ukraine smells a little fishy. So if it were any other situation, maybe you'd have more public backing for the impeachment.
But wait, based on everything that's come out, how does it smell fishy to you? I think what we know from the evidence, and we'll get Michael to weigh in on this too, and then I'm going to play a Lindsey Graham clip that might surprise some people. But based on the evidence, as I understand it, Hunter Biden did a kind of sleazy thing. He got on the board of Burisma, that Ukrainian energy company, and made a lot of money. He didn't have any expertise. They wanted him for his connections to his father when his father was vice president, presumably. However, nothing has come up to even suggest that Joe Biden, the potential candidate here, he's the issue, did anything to use the powers of the federal government to do anything to protect Burisma or his son. Or am I missing something, Peter?
You're not. You're not missing anything. But even the whiff of something inappropriate, people take it to the 10th level, the 11th level.
Peter, thank you very much. And I guess Lindsey Graham is on level 13 because he's already asking the State Department for documents pertaining to Hunter Biden's role in the board of Burisma, that Ukrainian energy company. And by doing so, Graham is keeping the narrative alive that Joe Biden might be corrupt. It's a far cry from the way Senator Graham spoke of his colleague after Biden's other son, Beau, died in 2015. Listen.
If you can't admire Joe Biden as a person, then it's probably you got a problem. You need to do some self-evaluation. Because what's not to like? I called him after Beau died. And he basically said, well, Bo was my soul. I've talked for a long time. He came to my ceremony and said some of the most incredibly heartfelt things that anybody could ever say to me. And he's the nicest person I think I've ever met in politics.
Is that right?
He is as good a man as God ever created. And we don't agree on much.
Lindsey Graham in tears on Joe Biden's character then. Now he's making sure the American people keep asking if Biden is corrupt based on no apparent evidence of anything Joe Biden has done. Biden reacted on CNN Friday night.
They're asking Lindsey Graham. They have him under their thumb right now. They know, he knows, if he comes out against Trump, he's got a real tough road for re-election. Number one, I am disappointed, and quite frankly, I'm angered by the fact he knows me. He knows my son. He knows there's nothing to this. Lindsey is about to go down in a way that I think he's going to regret his whole life.
What do you say to him?
I say, Lindsey, I'm just embarrassed by what you're doing for you. I mean, my Lord.
Joe Biden on CNN on Friday. So, Michael Isikoff, you're an investigative reporter poking around in that part of the world, Russia at least. I don't know if you've been in Ukraine. Is there any evidence Joe Biden used the power of the U.S. government in any way to protect his son? Because if there is, it should come out. If the Republicans are just going on a fishing expedition based on nothing so they can say, we don't know, we should know that too.
Yeah. I mean, look, nothing has a surface that suggests that Biden was doing anything other than implementing what was U.S. foreign policy at that moment and a foreign policy position that was supported by the European Union and the International Monetary Fund, which was that the prosecutor, Shoykin, was corrupt, was not pursuing legitimate corruption cases in Ukraine, and that this was important to be done. You know, that said, there was testimony from George Kent last week and others that the Hunter Biden role in Burisma, which was a corrupt company at the time, which its assets had been frozen as part of a money laundering investigation in the United Kingdom, was of concern among officials in the State Department, so much so that one of them wanted to raise the issue with the vice president's office, and apparently that never happened. So, yes, there was an optics issue there with Hunter Biden that does not look good from today's perspective, to say the least. Does it implicate the vice president himself in doing something wrong or improper? No, we do not have the evidence for that.
One of the things we might see in the Senate is a witness who Devin Nunes, the ranking Republican on the Intel Committee, kept saying he wanted to call, but Schiff and the Democratic majority were blocking her. Here is Nunes in one of the many times he spoke the name Alexandra Chalupa.
Violating their own guidelines, Democrats repeatedly redacted from the transcripts the name of Alexandra Chalupa, a contractor for the Democratic National Committee who worked with Ukrainian officials to collect dirt on the Trump campaign, which she provided to the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign.
So this is part of what we generally call the debunked conspiracy theory that it was Ukraine rather than Russia that hacked the DNC and on behalf of Clinton, not on behalf of Trump. Michael, as you remind us on your Twitter feed, you did some of the original reporting on Alexandra Chalupa.
I was the first person to write about Alexandra Chalupa in the 2016 election because as a result of her efforts to research and circulate information about Paul Manafort's dealings with the pro-Russian political party in Ukraine, her personal email account was hacked by Russian state actors. And this was a pretty good sign of just how extensive the Russian hacking operation was. It wasn't just of the DNC computers. It included personal emails of various people who worked for the DNC and the Clinton campaign. And in that, it was clear, I wrote at the time, yes, she was a DNC contractor who was very outraged about the role of Paul Manafort as campaign chair of the Trump campaign because of his dealings with the corrupt Yanukovych government. She was trying to publicize that, and she did reach out to Ukrainian embassy officials and others to try to get more information about Manafort's role. Manafort, of course, has since been convicted, but to equate that with the wide-ranging, systematic attack by Russian security services, stealing emails, dumping them for political effect, using trolls to drive public opinion, is absurd. I mean, there's no equating what the Russians did in their attack on our democratic system and the handful of situations that have been cited by Devin Nunes and others involving Alexandra Chalupa. The bottom line is there's nothing that Chalupa did that is in any way equivalent to what the Russian GRU and the Internet Research Agency were doing during the election.
Right. We've been inviting listeners to Impeachment, a Daily Podcast, to call in from around the country with their own articles of impeachment. Like, now that you've heard all this stuff, how would you actually put it into words? And we'll also invite Trump supporters to defend against these after we've aired a few. But let me play two that came in over the weekend. The first one is based on Trump Ukraine. The second one actually is not. Here's number one.
Hi, this is Michael Mola from Lexington, Massachusetts, and here is my article of impeachment. Donald J. Trump routinely and blatantly allows his own personal political, legal, and financial interests to supplant those of the presidency. In doing so, he delays justice, decreases domestic tranquility, dishonors those who have sacrificed in our common defense, and throws disdain upon the general welfare. He jeopardizes the very blessings of liberty that we, the people, have fought to secure for ourselves and our posterity.
Thank you, Michael in Lexington, and Adam Schiff in waiting, perhaps. Here's listener article of impeachment number two.
My name is Chemeshkia. I'm from Houston. This is for article of impeachment. I would say that President Trump has lied to the prosecutors, and that can be an article of impeachment. He wrote to Mueller in a written answer that he had no foreknowledge of WikiLeaks dump, but now Rick Gates is testifying in Stone trial that the campaign, including Trump, were on a conference call in April 2016 where they discussed the forthcoming emails. So there would be clear lying to the prosecutors, which can be impeached.
Thank you, Janesh in Houston. Michael, on that one, it's in your wheelhouse because you wrote the book Russian Roulette, the inside story of Putin's war on America and the election of Donald Trump. Is Janesh in Houston onto something substantive there?
Well, he's onto something that did catch the attention of a lot of us who were covering the Stone trial. But in terms of nailing the president on this one, look, those answers were very carefully written by his lawyers, and they included the all-purpose phrase, "I don't recall," on multiple occasions, including to the question of whether he had advanced knowledge or was had advanced conversations about what was going to come out with WikiLeaks. So in order to prove perjury by the president, you got a pretty high bar there. As long as it's got that those magic words, "I don't recall," it becomes really hard to bring a case on those grounds.
Michael Isikoff, chief investigative correspondent for Yahoo News and co-author of the book Russian Roulette, the inside story of Putin's war in America and the election of Donald Trump. Michael also hosts the podcast Skullduggery. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
If you're hearing this after the Don McGahn court decision came down, we think the potential implications are still what Michael was saying during the segment, but we will deal with the content tomorrow, so tune in for that. Again, listeners, you can call and ask an impeachment news question. Just leave a voicemail anytime, including your name and where you're calling from, and some of you will hear your questions on the show. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-TALK or 844-745-8255. Impeachment, a Daily Podcast, is excerpted from my live daily radio show, which we also invite you to listen to. It's The Brian Lehrer Show, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, streaming live then at wnyc.org. Thanks for listening. We'll have another episode tomorrow.